Well, I'm delighted to have the opportunity to be with you today. Been looking forward to this for some time. I'm a native Alabamian. I'm always glad to be back in Alabama. Best people in the world live right here in Alabama. I was born in Birmingham, grew up in Adamsville, which is west of Birmingham, about 10 miles. Worked in a cabinet shop when I was 14 for a few years, then I worked construction work as an electrician. Construction work just about shut down, and so I went into the coal mines and worked as an electrician there, which was interesting because I worked in the mine where my grandfather had worked for about 52 years and enjoyed that. My wife and I bought a house, had our family planned, and we were working the plan, and Brother Bob Duncan preached on the need for preachers. And I decided I needed to preach. Didn't know if I could or not. Some are still wondering if I can or not. But I went to the Memphis School of Preaching, and when I came out of school, went back to Alabama, near Winfield, Alabama. Preached at a congregation there in a setting much like this. Loved it. Enjoyed being with those good people. And I've preached since that time to this day. But I'm always glad to be back with the good folks in Alabama. Best cooks in the world, right here in Alabama. And I've eaten all around the world. Been in a number of foreign countries and all over these United States, and the best cooks in the world, right here. It's good to see these young preachers on the front row. I'm looking forward to when they come to the Memphis School of Preaching. There's another one back there. Didn't get to meet him. Good, and one back here. We've got them scattered all over the place. You fellas can preach if you want to. You can. And we need gospel preachers. Now, I'm not going to preach on that today, but I want you to think about it. We need gospel preachers. Good men who came with good upbringing like you and a good foundation like this congregation has provided for you. We're solid men. Men who believe the truth and who want to preach it. So I hope you'll think about that. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. That word way in the Bible indicates the course of life. It's the pathway which we travel. It is determined by the choices that we make, and those choices have consequences. As we think about our lives, there are but two ways we can travel. Matthew 7:13-14. There is that broad way that leads to destruction. There is that narrow way that leads to life. And we know that the majority travel that broad way, and the few that narrow way. Proverbs 14:12 tells us the problem. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. I talk with people all the time who are traveling the broad way, the wrong way, and yet they think it is the right way. And quite often they say to me, well, my friends are traveling this way. Most people I know are going this way. There's the problem. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but notice this, the end thereof is the way of death. And so if we travel that way, we've got a sad, sad future before us. Jeremiah 10:23 points out that man does not have the ability within himself, from himself, by himself, to determine a way for himself. Jeremiah wrote, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We don't have that ability. We can't see that far. We have to have from God directions. I've never been here before today. And so I had to have directions. And I looked at one place and got directions. I looked at another place. I got better directions. And so I followed the one that had the better directions. And we have to have directions to get through this life to where we want to be. It's not within us. within our ability to formulate that plan, to come with those directions without God's instruction. So as we look at the way that we ought to travel, and we'll do that this morning in the sermon as well, there is a way that is wrong and cannot be right. And that is the way that we'll consider this morning. Acts 8:5, when Philip went down to the city of Samaria following the persecution and the dispersal of Christians in Jerusalem, he went down to the city of Samaria, and what did he do? He preached Christ unto them. That's what we need to hear, isn't it? We could get together today and maybe do some things that would be profitable. We could talk about deer hunting. We could talk about recipes and things that would help us in various ways. But what do we need to hear? What is really important? What will guide us in the way we ought to go? We need to hear about Jesus Christ. That's what Philip did. 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He didn't go to them and tell them, now you might choose any of many different ways. You can choose the way of Islam. You can choose the way of Buddha or Confucius, or you can choose the way of denominationalism. You can choose any of these different ways. I've had people tell me, now preacher, as if I were so ignorant I could not understand. Now, preacher, you know that we're traveling different ways, but we're all going to the same place. You can't do that. If you go that way and I go this way, we're not going to the same place. And so Paul didn't say to them, pick a way, the way that you like, the way that the majority is traveling. He said, here's the way. That's through Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. And so there's a way that is right, but there's a way that is wrong. And that's what we're considering in this Bible class. I've had people say to me, now, preacher, you know, I hear what you're saying, but I just don't want to be a Christian. Why not? Because Christians can't do anything. And then they'll start listing all the things Christians can't do. And you know, the Bible's full of thou shalt nots. And the Christian life is so restricted, you just can't have any fun. And I don't want to live that way. The implication is that sinners can do anything with impunity. Sinners can have a good life. They can grab all the gusto. They can rejoice in their sin, and somehow, some way, someday, it's going to work out that they're going to be in heaven anyway. A recent poll showed that only one half of 1% of the people polled in America, one half of 1% actually believe they're going to hell. That means 99.5% think they're going to heaven. And they're living any way they want to live. But somehow it's going to work out and they're going to go to heaven. The truth is that Christians have the best life anybody ever could live. I've tried it both ways, I can tell you. I grew up in a denomination. I really was just a heathen. I wore a religious name, but I was just a heathen. And I've tried that way. That is not the way I want to travel. Now I've tried God's way. That's the way I want to go. If it were the case that there were no heaven, now I understand 1 Corinthians 15 and the hope that we have. But from a practical standpoint, if it were the case that there were no heaven to be gained, when we die, we're just gone, I still would want to live a Christian life because of the blessings that I know now, because of the purity of that life, because of the simple fact of living that way brings me to treat my family like I should, my neighbor like I should, my country as I should. My relationships then are determined to be right because I'm living right. The truth is there are a lot of things that sinners cannot do. That's why this way is the hard way. The way of transgressors is hard. That word hard is a word that means a dry, rocky, barren pathway. Now, yes, the majority is traveling it, but you know what? That will be the loneliest road you'll ever take. They're going down that way, but it's a way of darkness. It is a way of danger. It is a way of death. I don't want to go that way. I don't want my loved ones to go that way. It was mentioned I have 7 grandchildren. 5 of them are at my house today, and they've been there for 2 or 3 days. So I'm glad to be with y'all today. No, I love my grandchildren. But you know what? I want those grandchildren to travel the right way. I'm not like some with whom I've talked who have told me, I'm not going to influence my children to go a certain way. I'm going to let them choose their way. If I could choose for my grandchildren, I'd choose it today. But I can't do that. But I can help them to find the way that is right. The way of light, the way of life, the way of blessing, the way of hope, the way of peace. This way that the transgressor follows is a dry, rocky, barren way. The word transgressor means one who goes beyond the boundary. He goes across the line. Transgresses. He goes beyond what God has said as the limit. And why is it then that the sinner has such a hard way? Well, let's think about that. The sinner cannot have the home as God would have it to be. Ephesians 5:23-6:4 tells us what the husband is to do. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Tells us what the wife is to do. She's to submit to that loving husband. Tells us what the parents are to do. The father is to train up that child in the way he should go. Bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Tells us what the children are to do. They are to obey their parents and honor them. That word honor means to make weighty. They give weight to their parents. We read about people who have a lot of weight. Representative so-and-so has a lot of weight on Capitol Hill. What does that mean? He's respected. He's influential. People listen to him. And so it ought to be with our parents. They ought to have weight with us, that we respect them and listen to them. Today is my mother's 88th birthday. And I spoke to her earlier today. She's still growing strong. She's in better shape than I am. 88th birthday. I still look to her as my mother and listen to her and respect her. Even though I'm a grandfather, she's still my mother. And she still has weight in my life. The one who is not living the Christian life, the one who's traveling that way of the transgressor, you know what he misses? He misses the blessings of that home as God would have it to be. It will never be what God intended as long as he continues in that way. If everybody else in the home is living right and he is not, he's keeping that home from being what it ought to be. And what a shame that is. How sad. Matthew 6:33 tells us, the priority we ought to have in life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I was telling a Bible class recently, and you have to say this maybe 2 or 3 times. If I love God more than I love my wife, I will love my wife more than if I loved my wife more than I love God. Did you get that? If I love God more than I love my wife, I will love her more than if I loved her more than I love God. And so it is with any family relationship. The way of the transgressor is hard because he cannot have that home that God would have him have. There's always going to be something missing. He has not followed the blueprint that God has prepared. He does not have the materials list that God has given. I think I'm going to have to have some water, brother. Could you get me some? Thank you. Sorry about that. There'll never be real success in that home as long as any one of the members is following that way of the transgressor. Now, if that were all that the transgressor loses by his going that way, that would be enough, wouldn't it? To forfeit the blessings of a godly home. That would be enough, but that's not all. The transgressor cannot have the help that he so desperately needs. Look at Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation, that means your way of life, be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Sorry about having to contend with this sinus trouble, but that's the best I can do today. The Lord is my helper. You see, the transgressor forfeits that help. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All things we must do in living the Christian life. Paul said, I can do those because I have strength from Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The transgressor can't do that. But God's people can. When David went out to fight the giant Goliath, 9 feet 9 inches tall, a man of great experience, a warrior, great weaponry, great armor. He looked upon David and he said, you think I'm a dog? Come out here with a stick. And David said, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied, 1 Samuel 17. Who was it who walked off that battlefield that day? Wasn't the giant. How did David do that? Oh, because of his great cunning. No, that wasn't it. His superior strength. No. Because of his experience in battle. No. It was because God helped him. We need that help every day. The transgressor puts himself in a position where he cannot call upon God and receive that help. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I've been with people in times of great tragedy. Members of the church who said to me, preacher, pray for my... Maybe their son was in a motorcycle accident at the point of death. And I would say, I'm already praying for him. I'll continue to pray for him. And they'd say, well, you don't understand. Well, I did understand. They'd say, but you don't understand. You say, I don't know that I can pray to God and he'll hear my prayer. What a shame. That a man puts him in a position, himself in a position where he can't pray to God and God hear and answer his prayer. You see, the transgressor doesn't have that hope of help that the Christian does. And again, that would be enough, wouldn't it? If that were all that were involved in the penalty of sin, that would be enough. To know that you don't have the help that God can give to you. That's not all. The sinner forfeits the hope that he so desperately needs. Hope has two components. Desire and expectation. You got the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes stuff around here? My mother sent off those things for years and years. She still has hope, she thinks. Well, that's desire is what she has. She'd like to win that. But all she has is desire. If you read in the fine print, it'll tell you there's one chance in 35 billion or something. I don't know what it is, but there's no expectation of that. Desire and expectation are both involved in hope. I expect to have health problems because of my family history, but I don't desire those. Hope involves desire and expectation. Ephesians 2:12 records what Paul wrote concerning those Gentile Christians, in that in the past, when they had been outside of Judaism, he said, at that time you were without or outside of Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise. Notice what he said. having no hope without God in this world. You know what no hope means? I stood outside an emergency room and with a family that had gathered together, a 9-year-old boy in surgery. The doctor came out and I knew when he came out what he's going to say. I stood there between the mother and the father. He came out and he said, "There's no hope." The father passed out. The mother let out a scream that you don't hear, but maybe a few times in this life. They knew what no hope meant. Didn't have to explain that. Here are people without hope outside of Christ. That's the way of the transgressor. That's one reason why it's so hard. There's no hope. Hebrews 6:19 tells us that we have hope. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Titus 1:2. Paul wrote to Titus, he said that he lived, notice this, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What great hope. Hope of eternal life. The transgressor does not have that. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance. That word substance is from two Latin words, sub and stare. And it means under, to stand. Or it's that undergirding. Is that foundation, firm, solid, that holds up what is above it. Faith is the undergirding of things hoped for. How many of you ever been to heaven? Nobody here been to heaven. Well, how do you know there's a heaven? Because we've got faith. How do we have faith? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by the word of God. Now, faith undergirds that hope we have of heaven after a while. The transgressor doesn't have that. He may have a false hope. He may have a misplaced hope. He doesn't have true hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Romans 8:24-25. We are saved by hope. Did you know that? We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And so we have the desire. We have the expectation as Christians. Now the transgressor may have that desire, but he does not have that expectation. He cannot say that he has hope of eternal life. Again, if that were all that one who transgressed God's law were to give up because of so doing, that would be enough, wouldn't it? To live a hopeless life? Someone said that life without Christ is a hopeless end. But life with Christ is an endless hope. That is, in this life. We look forward to that day when that hope shall be brought to fruition. We shall be in heaven. There rejoice eternally. So the transgressor's way is hard because he can't have the home as God would have it to be. Can't have the help that he needs in this life. He can't have the hope to sustain him. But that's not all. He cannot have real happiness. When I was in high school, my friends would come back on Monday and tell me all the things they'd done. Wrong things, bad things. And then they talk about how much fun they had. The world has an idea that fun is happiness. It's not. As a matter of fact, God has not promised us happiness. He's promised us blessing. Read Psalm 1, verse 1 beginning. Blessed is the man. Here's the man who is really happy in the right way. Here's the man who has that joy that is not based upon material things. It's not linked to that which is carnal and physical. It is not temporary. It's not tied with sinful activity. This man has real joy. His soul rejoices. Why is that? Because he's living in the way that he knows the blessings of God. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. That used to bother me. I used to think, how can you rejoice in the Lord always? Well, I learned how. Does that mean that no bad thing is ever going to come into your life? Does not mean that. Does that mean that the Christian won't be tried and tested and face problems and difficulties, pain and suffering? Doesn't mean that. And it does not mean that the way is always going to be just the perfect life without any hint of any problems. But it does mean this. Regardless of what comes our way, how severe it might be, how tragic the circumstances, what a test it may be to our faith, regardless of what comes our way, we can rejoice in the knowledge that we are living and walking in that way that God approves, and thus we have that right relationship with God, and thus we are blessed by Him. I would not want to face the problems of this life without Christ. I deal with people all the time who do. They have no way to find the remedy. They have no solutions. They have no answers. I was helping my son, Nathan. He preaches in Colorado. I was helping him when he was a little fella with his math homework. I don't like math. If you're a math teacher, don't tell me till Friday night, okay? I don't like math. But I was helping him with his math homework, and I thought, I've been out of school all these years. I took a lot of math in school, but I didn't like it. And here I am having to do math again. And things had changed since I was in school. And so I struggled with it, and I came with an answer, and I thought, I don't know if that's the right answer or not. You have to work a formula. You come with an answer. Did I get the right answer? I don't know. So I looked in the back of the book, and there were the answers. That was a happy day. I said, Nathan, here's the answer to question one. Let's check that. Oh, we got it. We got it right. I was glad to see that. You know, the transgressor goes through life, and he's looking for answers, and he can't find them. He comes with what he thinks is the answer. But he doesn't know if it's right or not. That's why his way is hard. But we've got the answers. They're right here in the book. If I need to know which way to go, how to go that way, what to do, what decision to make, which course to take, it's right here in this book. And sometimes I think, well, I know the answer, but I look in this book and I say, I missed that one. I've got to go back and redo that one. Because the answer I thought I knew to be right, oh, God says, that's not it. But here the answer is, right here. 1 John 1, 7 through 10. We can be really happy in this life, have that joy that God wants us to have, because we're walking in the light. When I worked in the coal mines, I was an electrician, and one day the boss said, I want you to go to this section of the mines. That coal mine had been in operation 100 years and more. It covered miles and miles and miles underground. I lived several miles away from it. Sometimes I could hear when they would shoot the dynamite. I could hear it because I could feel the ground rumble. And all that area, Graysville, Adamsville, all around in there, undermined with coal mines. So I want you to go to this section of the mine. We had some little electric cars we called Jeeps that ran on tracks, had a trolley pole. I took off in that Jeep and drove for 2 hours as fast as I could go. And I was 2 hours away from everybody else. All I had with me was a little light on my hard hat. I got to the pump. He wanted me to check to make sure it was pumping, and it was. And I thought, I'm going to turn out my light. I'd always heard about darkness such that you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. So I turned out my light, stuck my hand in front of my face. About that quickly, I turned that light back on. I didn't want to be in that darkness. In the coal mines, if you're in the dark, it's a dangerous place. A lot of things can happen. I didn't want to be in the dark. But the transgressor walks his way every day in the darkness spiritually. That's why his way is hard. You can't be happy being in the fear, the danger of darkness every day. Psalm 119:105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What a joy it is to have the word of God that directs us and shows us the way that we are to travel. Ephesians 1:3, In Christ are all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:7, In Christ is forgiveness, redemption, and that because of His blood that He shed for us. When we have fellowship with God, 1 John 1:7-10, we're walking in the light. We're in Christ, where forgiveness and redemption are. Then we can rejoice not only because of the day, but also because of what we look forward to at the end of the day. 1 Corinthians 15:55-58. When this mortal shall have put on immortality, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The way of the transgressor is hard because he cannot have the home that God wants him to have, the home as God would have it to be. He cannot have the help that he so desperately needs. He cannot have the hope to sustain him in this life. And he cannot have happiness now or eternally because he cannot have heaven. This life is brief. I know that by two ways. We know things only by two ways. Either by experiment or by evidence. We experience something in life through our senses. We have evidence given to us, in our case, through the Word of God. I know life is short because I've experienced that. I'm on the way down. My time is short at best, but it's that way for all of us. James 4:14 tells us life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time, vanishes away. None of us has the guarantee of another heartbeat. I plan on preaching in just a few minutes. I may not make it. Christ could come back. We don't know. Death could take any one of us. I've been preaching when people pass from this life. We just don't know. But we know this. There's something beyond this life. A lady knocked on my door. She wanted to give me some material. I said, I'll take your material if you'll take mine. Well, she couldn't take mine. I said, why not? Because it's not Bible. I pulled out a book. I had edited a lectureship book, and I just opened it to a page, and there were two pages of scriptures. I don't know if that was providence or not, but there were two pages listing scriptures. I said, there you go. She took the book, and I took her material. She came back later. We studied. We studied several times. She saw the truth. But she wouldn't obey it. And I think it was maybe the last time that we studied together. I said, now, if I were to do what you say I should do, what would that get for me? I said, could I go to heaven? She said, no, you can't go to heaven. I said, why not? She said, it's full. I said, heaven is full? She said, yes, it is. I said, well, where would I go? She said, now you can live on earth. I said, I already live on earth. But you can live on earth eternally. I said, I don't want to be on earth. I want to go to heaven. Can't go to heaven. I said, now what if I don't do what you say I should do? What would happen to me? She said, you would be annihilated, burned up, destroyed in a moment. I said, you mean just like that? She said, just like that. I said, what would I care? I wouldn't even know it. If I'm destroyed, I'm gone. That's the end of me. I wouldn't even know it. I said, what kind of deterrent is that to a sinner? If he's told that when he dies, all that happens is he's gone. She said, you would be erased from the memory of God. I said, again, I wouldn't know that. I said, I don't see that as a deterrent to sin. The truth is, there's something beyond this life. For the faithful child of God, it's heaven. For that one who lives as the transgressor is that eternal punishment in hell. Matthew 25:46. These shall go away into everlasting punishment. That's never ending. That's forever. But the righteous unto life eternal. Revelation 20:12-15. When death and Hades are cast into that lake of fire, that's the end of them. Those written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be the ones of whom Jesus spoke that will hear, well done. They will be the ones who are blessed, Revelation 14:13, who die in the Lord. There'll be the ones who, Revelation 22:14 says, because they've kept the commandments of God, now can enter in through the gates into the city. They will be the ones, Revelation 21:4, of whom it says, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Now, if it were the case for the child of God that every moment of every day of his life were spent in pain and trouble, if we lived Job's life every day, if that were our lot and we lived here for 80, 90, 100 years every day suffering, to live faithfully, it would still be worth it all to be in heaven after a while. There's no pain. There's no cost. There's no requirement that God could ever put upon us that we might enter into heaven after a while, that we could say, that's too much. We think about what He did for us. He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. To bear our transgressions, our bruises, our iniquities, that He might be able to save us. The way of transgressors is hard. It's a dry, rocky, barren pathway. It is a way that is wrong, and it cannot be right. Proverbs 23:17. Here's something we need to keep in mind. We'll close with this. We may say, I'm not going to walk that way of the transgressor, but here's another problem. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Sometimes I hear Christians say, well, you know, I'm not going to commit that sin, but it surely does look like he's having a lot of fun. Would you like to play the lottery? I know Christians that wish they could drink. Would like to involve themselves in other sins. Don't envy sinners. Know where they're going. Know the path they're taking. And know what they are missing now and eternally. Because they're walking that hard way.